If we just went by high temperatures, then it feels like spring has been around in the Valley since January. But later this month, the unofficial start of that season begins, with Major League Baseball players reporting to the desert for spring training. It's a time that gets the players ready for 6 months of games that count and gives fans a chance to enjoy the games, the food, the sunshine. But labor problems could potentially put a crimp in those plans. One prominent agent for MLB players is disturbed that a number of the game's top free agents remain unsigned, as owners have been a bit more conservative in their offseason spending. He's wondering if collusion is taking place, and that agent, Brody Van Wagenen, has floated the idea of a spring training boycott to send a message that players are unhappy. With me to talk about labor relations in Major League Baseball on the verge of spring training is University of Toledo law professor Jeffrey Rapp. Jeff, labor unrest in baseball hasn't happened for a couple of decades, so does it surprise you at all we may be heading in that direction now?
Well, you know, certainly baseball has a long history, and really it's sort of the dominant business issue the sport has confronted over the last century of trying to restrict player earnings, restrict player mobility and free agency, even going back to the 60s and 70s, has really been the lightning rod. I think in the 80s, baseball faced arbitration on the issue of collusion, and there was a finding for the players. Since then, what's happened is that when players felt there were indications of collusion, they've raised those concerns to the owners, and that's typically been part of the collective bargaining process, but has not led to a request for arbitration, or hasn't led, at least on a mass case, to a request for arbitration, hasn't led to any litigation.
So is this a sign that what we would call labor peace in baseball is coming to an end?
Certainly, it is a sign that there are reasons to worry. The new collective bargaining agreement put in place a much tougher luxury tax. And so what you've seen are especially some of the large market teams, the big cities, which historically would have ignored the luxury tax and paid the largest salaries to free agents, which then in turn would trickle down and drive up free agent salaries throughout the league. Those teams are being much more restrictive out of a concern for going over that cap and facing the luxury tax. And that may be leading then to concerns on the players' part that it's not just the teams individually making decisions to be more restrictive, but instead something that rises to the level of concert of action, of acting in concert as prohibited by the CBA, and as would constitute a violation of the antitrust laws if there weren't a CBA.
But at this point, because of the way even salaries work, spring training is probably their best option to even say, you know, even to stage a one-day boycott, to send a message. But does a message in the case of actual labor law make a difference?
Well, certainly, you know, if the owners start to see a threat to the bottom line, you know, that could lead to a little bit more action, but it on their part in terms of offering higher salaries to free agents. But you know, I'm not sure that the players have the mettle right now to push for a prolonged work stoppage of any kind.
When one agent says that, is there a risk in that to indicate something else? Because he's clearly not speaking for all the players. I mean, obviously, he's trying to send a message himself, but I mean, are there risks in that as well?
If there's kind of an agreement to keep negotiations in private and until we're ready to announce the contracts between the players and the league, if that's sort of what the two sides prefer, being accused of violating the CBA, particularly when it is an accusation that echoes some of the admitted problems that the league has had in the past, you know, that might be viewed as impolite and could certainly affect how some of the negotiators approach agents. But I think that most of the people who work on player contracts on behalf of teams, you know, they're used to agents using the public eye as a way of advancing their client's position at the negotiating table. So I'm not sure that this will really affect that one agent's clients or clients in general as much as it could in other industries.
Well, even if it's just one agent making it public, does boycotting spring training even seem like a legitimate possibility to you in any way?
I think there's always a possibility, as there are in individual contract cases, that players won't report because they're unhappy with the terms of the contract, they're unhappy with the attitude of the team to not negotiate an extension. So that's one of the things we've seen, you know, over the years, is that when players want a change in their contract and they're demanding one, they've individually chosen not to report to training camp. But here, when we're talking about a collective action, the risks for the players are a little bit magnified because that is something that is prohibited by the terms of the CBA. So they could find themselves the target of a grievance filed by the employers.
And Jeff, from what you've seen so far, anything that would indicate that Commissioner Rob Manfred is quite different from Commissioner Bud Selig? Is there something going on there? Perhaps because the tide of the game is changing. Many people have talked about, no matter how much it seems like MLB can print money, a lot of it seems regional at this point.
Certainly, the economics of the new CBA are a big difference between what we've seen in the past. And there does seem to be a real awareness on the part of owners that the kind of arms race competition may not have been affecting their business in a positive way. It may have had some real negative effects. And once they get those restrictions in the form of a luxury tax into the CBA, they're protected from a challenge under the antitrust law. So the fact that they were willing to fight for that and that the Players Association allowed that to happen, their negotiators allowed that to happen, I think is going to be a change we're going to look at 5 or 10 years from now as having been quite a significant one.
And Jeff, finally, what would you say the state of baseball is right now when it comes to labor peace? Again, a contract is signed, but this is early on in the contract and already we're seeing some major bumps here.
Well, I guess it goes to show that no sport can really take labor peace for granted. We've seen so many issues over the last decade with the NFL, but with baseball, we've kind of thought that most of these issues were in the past, but that may not be the case, and it may be that we're headed for a rockier relationship between the players and the league in the future.
Jeff Rapp is a professor of law at the University of Toledo College of Law. Jeff, thanks for the time today.
My pleasure. Anytime.